Welcome to the Drive Podcast with Zach, Chris, and Bailey. Recording on a cloudy midweek afternoon.
Rare Wednesday for the podcast.
It was hot yesterday, and today with the clouds, it feels a lot better.
Yeah, my wife was telling me about a weather person on TV here in Nashville that was freaking out. I mean, literally freaking out that it was so hot. And honestly, I'm a little bit tired of that. It's July, and it's hot. And
it's supposed to be hot.
They need to, you know, write that forecast down on a post-it note, stick it at the weather desk. July forecast hot, and just leave it at that.
July forecast hot.
Yeah,
just deal with it.
Don't we don't need to comment on that.
Bailey joins us. Bailey, how are you?
I'm good. I'm here.
You made muffins this week. You made banana muffins.
They were pretty good.
Yeah,
pretty good. Would you so nicely? I declined.
Why didn't you eat one?
I'm not a big banana guy. I eat bananas like when I'm working out or if I know I'm going to be going like playing basketball or football or something like that. Like back in the day, I would have a banana.
But it wasn't a banana. It was a banana muffin.
I know. I'm just not a big fan. It's just not my thing, man.
Really?
Yeah. I'm sorry.
The truth comes out.
I did. You know, I was at a family reunion this weekend. I don't like soft fruit. So, like, I know this is especially coming off of the heels of the 4th of July, but I don't like apple pie, cherry pie. I don't like things with soft fruit in them.
I couldn't live on pie.
I had a cousin who made this incredible banana pudding because I like the flavor.
Yeah.
And what she did, she put the bananas on top of it afterwards. So she had the banana pudding, and then she put the bananas on top, and it was phenomenal. So I could move the bananas, the soft fruit, and then eat the banana pudding, which was very good. So I can tolerate that. And I know we'll probably have a bunch of people complain that I don't like
a muffin. It's a muffin.
I know. I don't know. It didn't have any icing on it.
That's a cupcake. A muffin does not have icing.
You didn't bring any butter in either, you know.
Butter.
Oh, butter on banana muffins or banana bread is the only way to eat it.
Oh, I agree, and you didn't bring any in.
I'm sorry, I didn't feel like lugging butter into the office.
We have a fridge back here.
Everybody has poo-pooed ranch on pizza, but now we're slathering butter on our banana.
Dude, I'm telling you get you get a big old blueberry muffin.
Yeah, no,
cut that thing in half and throw a big old chunk of butter in there and let that melt.
I get it.
That's heaven.
I am pro butter. I am. Our motto when I'm cooking is more butter, more better. But
pro butter, I like that. You need a bumper sticker that says that.
Pro butter.
Yeah. Hey. Bailey took a call today.
I take
lots of calls.
She takes lots of calls. This is a special call, though. Do you want to tell the story, Bailey?
No, I'm just here for small input.
Small input and to plant your face in our mics. That, too. Bailey took a call today.
The animosity right off. It never fails every single time. It's just like,
well,
some words that I can ridicule.
And I'm going to end with you slamming your face into something.
Go with this. Maybe next segment. Bailey injured herself again. We need to talk about it.
Well, I was gone?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Good. All right. So
it's awesome. Okay.
Right off the pages here.
Treat us like children.
Gordon Johnston called in today to Bailey, and had a story idea for us.
Way to go, Gordon. Thanks,
I know.
Buddy.
Isn't that awesome? So,
is it a good story?
And Bailey had put together like a rundown of what we were going to talk about today, and she missed this story. So thankfully, Gordon called in to the rescue. So first off, Gordon, thanks for...
Wait, was Bailey charged with scouring every story?
Yes.
possible.
This is an important story.
I've got to stick up for her a little bit.
Somebody needs to. Anyway, the bottom line is that, did you know, per Gordon Johnston, that today, or I guess it was yesterday, on the 9th of July in Pueblo, Mexico, the last VW Beetle was made.
Like the last one that's ever going to be made.
Well, we'll get to
Zach
that.
Zach has a conspiracy.
Yeah, we'll get to that. But,
oh, gosh.
But, yes, the last ever VW, it was denim blue. It will not be sold. It's going to go straight to the VW. There's a museum for this.
Where is the VW
museum? I guess there's a museum for everything.
There's a VW museum in Pueblo, Mexico.
I guess that's where they make them there.
Is that New Mexico or Mexico?
Like Mexico.
Like Mexico.
Like not the U.S. Mexico.
This was a third generation Beetle. It was released in 1998, and 1.7 million of them had sold. I didn't know this, the history. It was actually the history, the brainchild of Adolf Hitler. He wanted a people's car that would be a Model T of Germany. The generation one, so this was the third, like we said, but the first generation car was produced over 65 years.
Yeah, there's a bunch of them. There's a bunch of them still out there.
And so Bailey put this together, so.
You're welcome. I did something right.
Slug bug blue.
Ow! You didn't even see it. You just read about it. Yeah, that's cheating.
I didn't
even
put the pictures on there. Still.
I hit your foot.
I hit
my
your
foot. Foot is sensitive.
So anyway, that's a pretty cool story. And Gordon, thanks for bringing that to our attention. That is,
way to go,
that
Gordon.
Is,
thank
that
you,
is
buddy.
Good stuff.
What was your first car, Zach?
Well, let me. Can I get to my conspiracy first?
Okay, yes. Go to your conspiracy
first.
Oh,
I can't wait.
Do you remember how they took away the Chevy Camaro a few years ago?
Yeah.
Like, it's going away.
Oh, you think it's coming back?
Come out and buy your Chevy Camaro, and then like 3, 4, 5 years later, guess what? We're going to reintroduce the Chevy Camaro again.
Well, they do that all the time.
We're going to bring it back. Same with the Ford Bronco.
Yeah.
And I'm a Ford guy.
Yeah, they do. They take do that
away
kind
the,
of stuff
take
all
away
the, time.
The Ford Bronco. Now we're going to bring it back. My point is, I don't know that this is going to ever. I think it'll come back. I think what they'll, because that's what
you
they
might
do.
Be right.
If it's not selling well, you take a, and you can't do it with every car. Like, it has to be kind of an iconic car, which I would say the Beetle is. You take away the car, and then you bring it back in 5 years. And it sells like hotcakes because people missed it.
Yeah. And there's a bunch of cars that have done that. You know, you had the Chevy Impala. So you had, you know, these big, long cars that they made in the 60s and then went away for a long time. And then They bring it back. And then every policeman in the country has one.
Yeah, that's true. So there's a bunch. And then, like I said, the Ford Bronco is another one that's coming back.
That looks like it's going to be cool, too.
It looks like it's going to be really cool, the pictures I've seen of it. So, yeah, I think I would say that you will be able to revisit this podcast 5 years from now, and there'll be new VW Beetles on the road.
It's possible.
We'll have to come back.
We'll have to.
Pull this as file.
I hope this thing is still going on.
File audio. So.
We'll bring it back.
Maybe they'll find some better hosts.
They should. Whoever they is. Unfortunately, we are they.
Whatever they is. Bailey, to answer your question, my first car was a 1989 Crown Victoria.
Yes.
I don't even know what that is, but it sounds terrible.
I know exactly
terrible.
What that is.
It's, you remember the police cruisers of, you know, the big, huge police cruisers, like of the 90s and 2000s, you know, before they started switching to smaller cars or SUVs?
No, she doesn't remember that.
From the reruns I've watched on television.
Give me a show.
Like, what do you mean? What do you mean a show?
Like, what show would have had police cars in it? You said reruns.
Those cars would appear in, like, Hill Street Blues.
Well, mine was the, what I was trying to paint is the 89 version is an old generation. Like, the next year, they went to more, like, rounded.
Yeah, it was a little
cooler,
softer.
Yeah, because I also had a 92, and it was actually halfway decent looking. It actually had some rounded curves. But mine was a big steel brick, and it was brown. And God love my grandfather, he had started to get a little bit of like Alzheimer's. And for whatever reason, he went and put these like pretty cool looking rims
yes,
on this Crown Victoria. And so
Were they bigger? Were they bigger than the original wheels?
They weren't bigger. And they weren't like spinners or anything like that. But they were just they were not the wheels that were supposed to be on the Crown Victoria. So yeah. What about you, Bailey? You probably had like a 2014 Prius was your first car.
I did not. I had a there's a story that goes along with my first car. So be prepared. This is the most talking I'm ever going to do on this podcast.
Okay.
I got my grandma for my 16th birthday gave me her 2005 red Pontiac Grand Am. I did not have my license yet because the great state of Indiana told me I had to wait till I was 16 and a half. And before I turned 16 and a half, my dad left the keys in it in the driveway and someone stole it. Someone who was drunk backed it out of the driveway, drove it half a mile, flipped it three times, and they walked away. Don't worry.
You keep saying like someone, like as if it was you.
It wasn't me. We were actually out of town when it was stolen.
Someone.
Well, it was someone. They walked 2 miles, found my car, got in it, and drove it.
Was it a family member?
No, some random dude.
Flipped it three times.
Yep. So that was the end of my first car. Did you ever even
drive it?
No. Once with my permit. So I never really got to drive it as like an adult.
So what did you get next?
The car that if you walk out in the parking lot, you'll see right now, which is my 2004 Buick LeSabre.
That's right.
My boat.
That's kind of what I had. Yours is just a little newer with some rounded corners, but pretty much that's what I drove. So,
Chris, what did you have?
My story is oddly similar to yours, except without being stolen and flipped. So my grandmother gave me my first car when I was 15 years old, and it was a 1979 Mustang. Now, if you remember, if you know anything about Mustangs, in 1979 was the year they went from awesome Mustangs to the era of oil embargoes and, you know, the energy crisis and all that. And so Ford thought, well, we'll take the Mustang and we'll make a compact car out of it. And so that's when that first Fox body Mustang came out. That Mustang had a weak, weak four-cylinder engine. It was quite possibly the worst car ever made. My grandmother gave it to me.
Because it was the worst car ever made?
Because it was too slow and she felt unsafe in it. So she gave it to me. And that's what I rolled in.
Because it was too slow?
It was too slow. It didn't have enough power for my grandmother. So she gave it to me. But I was proud of it, though.
It feels fitting, though.
Yeah. Great. Oh, because of the way I drive?
Yeah.
Like, legally?
I'm just...
Unlike you?
Yeah. Let's not get into that.
Oh, we will. At some point, we will. Whether it's now or later, you decide. You had an AM radio. AM only.
Well, you could pick up 650 WSM.
Not in East Tennessee, you couldn't. You could pick up... the only station that I could pick up worth picking up was... the FM station, WIMZ, which was the like classic rock and roll station, also had an AM band that they broadcasted on. And you could get that kind of in a little bit fuzzy way, but you could still get it. And that's how I rolled for a little while. But I had wheels, and they were free.
So each one of us got cars from our grandparents. Is that correct?
Sounds like it. Thank you, grandparents.
Yeah, gosh.
Yeah.
What do we do without them?
I don't know. We wouldn't have slow and stolen and massive cars.
At least your car was cool.
My car was not cool at all.
It was a Mustang.
I would rather. I used to borrow my mom's Mercury Grand Marquis, which was the Mercury version of the Crown Vic, like you had. And I would much rather drive that big boat than my little Mustang.
Yeah.
But I've had Mustangs since, and they were better.
I love it. Well, drivers, if you want to tell us what your first car was, you can do that on MW's Twitter account or Facebook account. You can always reach out to us there. And of course, you can always call Bailey and just tell her, and we will talk about it because that's what we're looking for. We're looking for things that interest you guys. So, Gordon, thanks for bringing up that first story idea for us to talk about cars. It got us through the first segment.
I like it.
It was good stuff. Remember, you can check out our podcast wherever podcasts are listened to, on iTunes, Spotify, other locations, and you can always go to drivemw.com and get to our podcast there. So we want to appreciate all those of you that are listening. We'll be right back after this with some more chatting about what are we going to talk about here?
I don't know. Let's
senior citizens, I think, are what we're going to talk about when we come back. Y'all stay with us, all right? Bear with us. Drivers, do you need to earn a quick 1,000 bucks? Refer a driver today. We are always in need of over-the-road drivers out of all of our locations. There's no cap on how many drivers you can recruit, and we spend money on advertising, but we'd really rather put that money in your pocket. And remember, always send those drivers to drivemw.com, where they can apply and learn more about M&W. Let's put that $1,000 in your pocket today.
Hello, I'm Jeff Olson with M&W Transportation, driver of Truck 536, and you're listening to the Drive Podcast with Chris and Zach.
All right, welcome back to the Drive Podcast with Zach, Chris, and Bailey. Talking about our first cars in the last segment. Bailey did let me know in the break that her grandmother did upgrade to a Prius after her car was stolen. So, once again, I know the producer, Bailey, better than she knows herself.
Why?
Really?
Oh, because you thought I got a 2014. Oh, that was pretty close to the year, though.
you got to give him his due.
2012.
It's uncanny. It's uncanny, for sure. So, Bailey did do some digging for us. She didn't find the VW story,
yeah,
which is unbelievable. But
And we discovered that, you know, the older people in our lives have really taken care of us, right?
Yeah.
They gave us cars when we were way too young to have cars.
So, are we supposed to do that? Like, do I need to start preparing? I don't have any grandkids. I've still got babies myself, but... Am I supposed to provide a car?
Yeah, but with four kids, you're going to need to start preparing now.
It's the good thing about having multiple kids like I do is it's kind of like, you're not, none of you are getting anything. You know, it's like when you have one kid, you kind of got to do stuff. You definitely have to do stuff. If you got two kids, then it's like, well, they both get something. When you've got more than three, it's kind of like, well, I'm sorry. I can't buy you a car. You know, I couldn't buy your brother. I couldn't buy your sister. I couldn't buy, you know, so none of them get cars. I did just basic things like food and shelter is what I provide.
Did you plan it that way? Did you think it that far ahead?
No, I didn't think of that.
You know what?
No.
If we get a bunch of them, they'll understand when we don't give them anything.
If we get a bunch of them. No, but I think it's definitely, I think that's what's going to happen.
Because that's a terrible way to go about it.
It's going to, you know, less is more.
So more is less?
So, that's the exact opposite of your life plan.
The first will be last. Things like that. So.
Whatever. So, we were talking about grandmothers and grandfathers and older people taking care of us, and we've got some...
Older people doing
amazing things, some more stuff that... you know, but Bailey told us what, Bailey? It was just a big older people news week, right?
It was. All the good news that came up when I was searching good news, it was old people doing amazing things. That was the only way to title that.
Well, and just... It just proves that younger people are worthless. I think, is that what you're trying to say, Bailey?
Millennials are
terrible. I don't like to claim my generation very much.
Oh, why not? Let me say this for the record, please.
Oh, here we go.
Where is my soapbox at? Let me get up on here. I think millennials get a bad rap. Can I say that?
We do.
I think millennials have discovered that quality matters, because they have really relied their entire lives on truthful information. Thank you can thank us Gen Xers for bringing you the internet. You're welcome. But you have used it.
You and Al Gore.
You have used it quite well, and you know what's real and what's not real, and you want what's real and willing to do without unless you've got really good stuff, and they rely on the truth and not a bunch of BS, and they know how to filter through it. So I give them props.
I think that the problem is with millennials is that they it's just like any other stereotype about people. There's a few people that do certain things, and then the whole group is stereotyped that way.
Yeah.
You know, there's a few millennials that probably live in California that work for Google and have foolish expectations of what work and everything else is going to be like. But the majority of millennials, do not feel that way, do not believe that. And like Bailey said, they don't even want to claim their own generation. We have, in the neighborhood I live in, there's a yard of the month deal. And
which retirement home do you live in?
Well, it's almost like that. We have a Facebook page, and so like people complain about people driving through fast or fireworks, and it's I'm on there because it's hilarious. In fact, we could do a whole podcast on what did we hear.
Yes, we could.
I've been thinking about like things to like to interject into the show. And I think I just did it. I just came up with it. It's going to be every week we're going to have like a little 2-minute segment of what did Zach find on his neighborhood Facebook page this week?
Yeah.
Because every week, this week, a guy was complaining. He's like, because they had just posted, we're going to have the Yard of the Month announcement on Wednesday. And so this guy got on there and had this big long rant about some of y'all people need to take better care of your yards, and it's the millennials. It's all these millennials in our neighborhood that aren't taking care of their yards. So all these millennials
don't know how to mow.
Exactly. So all these millennials started jumping on him.
Yeah.
And so it's hilarious. I mean, it's good stuff. But the oldest person in the U.S. celebrated her 114th birthday.
Dang.
In New York City. In Harlem.
That is 114. Astoundingly What's the math old. On that?
She was born in 1905.
Wow.
Like it says on your paper.
Thanks. she was. Thanks, Bailey. She was those dang millennials. Always stepping on our toes, telling us what to read.
Just to put that in perspective, her parents would have, at some point, possibly experienced the Civil War. Well, maybe not. That would have been 40 years ago. But that was only 40 years after the end of the Civil War.
Yeah, I mean, her parents were probably born in like 1880.
Yeah.
They were probably the baby boomers of the Civil War.
The baby boomers of the Civil War. That's not awesome.
A thing. Bailey, that is so historically
incorrect. Was there a baby boom after the Civil War?
There's always a baby boom after wars. That's a thing.
There wasn't enough people to have a baby boom after the Civil War. Lost 600,000 people, and they weren't Germans and Russians and Japanese. They were all Americans.
Well, a better reason to come home.
Per capita, there might have been a boom. We need to do the math on this.
There may have been a boom. I don't know. Anyway, let's get back on, goodness gracious.
It did not take us long to get off track, did it?
Wow. Folks, do not come to us for historical information. Do not go home and say, Bailey said,
I'm just trying to reference what I know into a time that I don't
know. What you know, right? Yeah, exactly. She was widowed, a single mom, worked as a seamstress, and she was a renowned salesperson. 114 years old. Think about all the things that she saw. She would have seen. Or she's still alive. I say saw. I shouldn't speak about her in the past.
Where is she? Is she from New York? Or
she was born in North Carolina.
So 1905 in North Carolina. It certainly would have been a horses on the street situation.
Absolutely. She would have seen the invention of cars. She would have seen two world wars. She would have been a teenager during World War I.
She would have been part of the Great Depression.
She would have seen the Great Depression. She would have seen World War II. She would have seen the revolution of the 60s and all the segregation. I think I saw a picture of her. I believe she's an African-American.
She is.
So she would have gone through all of that through the 40s, 50s, and 60s, especially being in North Carolina, and then going up into New York.
What does she do? I mean, did she
said she was a seamstress.
Wow.
And a renowned salesperson. And then she had a motto. Do you have a motto? You have a bunch of mottos.
I got several mottos.
Let's see what hers is here. It is no time to sleep. Sleep when you're dead. Do what you got to do while you're woke.
That would be in line with if it's not a motto, it's certainly in line with my lifestyle. I like to go 100% until I collapse, and so I like her thinking. Maybe that gives me hope. Maybe I can, due to my crazy lifestyle and refusal to sleep, then I can live to be 114. Maybe that's the secret.
That's pretty incredible. Just thinking about what she would have seen. I mean, my goodness, all the different things. And then I think she's still kicking. So
yeah,
she's still doing her thing up there in New York. So that's pretty incredible.
What's her name?
I didn't say her name, did I? I don't want to butcher it. I think it's Alayla.
I think it's Aaliyah. Alila.
Alila. Murphy. We definitely can nail that.
All right, Miss Murphy. Happy birthday.
Yeah. Happy 114th birthday. That's fantastic. You know, that's got to be lonely for her, too, though. You know, I mean, that's, you got to think about it. Everybody she's ever known is gone.
Yeah, that's true.
I think she lived with her daughter. Her daughter was interviewed in the news article.
I mean, her daughter's got to be
pretty dang old.
I mean, that's the thing. You think about your parents, you know, like you think about your parents being like in their 90s. Like if you're, you know, my dad, I'm 38. You know, my dad's in his 60s. I mean, it's not, it's like a 20, you know, most people would have a, what, 8, even if you had kids early, right? 18 to 28 year gap.
Yeah.
Some of us more.
So like if you had.
My dad was older when he had me, so he's in his 60s already.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Are you embarrassed about that or something?
No, but you just said.
Well, I mean, I'm saying majority of people, like, I think that their parents are probably 20 to 30 years older than them.
I think she's saying you implied normal people, regular folk, have, you know, parents that had their children in their 20s. And abnormal people have done other things. That's what she was saying without saying.
I'm just trying to make you politically correct.
Her daughter would be 74 to 80, assuming 74 to 80 years old. So I mean, she's older.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. I mean, once you get up into your 80s, there's like people aren't around. You know, I don't know that I'd ever want to outlive my kids.
No, absolutely not. And
how would you feel buried? I mean, she's done that. She's probably buried some children. She's probably buried some grandchildren. All of her friends are gone. I mean, that's the thing. We all talk about wanting to live forever.
Can we go back to talking about cars, please?
Do you really want to live forever?
No, I don't want to live forever. Yeah. But let me take that back.
So my question is this.
Could I live forever and stay the age I'm at right now? Heck yeah. Heck yeah. Prime time right now, buddy. Can you imagine just being this awesome? Forever. it would never get old. Ever.
Did you just squeal, Bailey?
I know, I said
Bailey doesn't agree with how awesome I
we're
am.
We're just staring at Chris, letting him talk into this giant hole.
Which is what everybody does all the time.
Like, this is twice today you've been saying something where I just can't even have, I don't have a response.
What was it earlier? Oh, I know what it was. Yeah, we're not going to talk about that on the podcast right now.
Can we talk about it? Why can't we talk about
it?
It's a little much for the podcast.
Yeah.
It may be. All right, we're going to come back with a couple other older folks that are doing some pretty incredible things.
Maybe.
And then we'll get to hear Chris talk about how amazing he is as well. So y'all stay tuned for that. That's coming up next here on the Drive Podcast with Zach, Chris, and Bailey.
Hello, everyone. My name's Dave Honerjager with the Tennessee Trucking Association, and you're listening to the Drive Podcast with Chris and Zach.
All right, welcome back to the Drive Podcast with Zach, Chris, and Bailey.
It's a little new bumper music there, isn't it?
A little bit.
I like it.
We played it before.
Oh, okay.
It's been a fur piece.
Usually I'm too busy listening to how awesome I am.
There we go.
I don't hear the music.
You know, we should record our breaks. Like, we take like a little...
They're better than the podcast.
We usually take like a minute or two break. And there's all kinds of, there's all kinds of stuff. So we were talking about that page, the neighborhood page, is called Mary Oaks. And then,
so that's his retirement home that he lives in.
Yeah, it's not. It's a neighborhood. The neighborhood in Donaldson. It's not a retirement home.
Sounds like one.
And then there's like what, Hip Donaldson?
Yeah, Hip Donaldson's kind of like the whole Donaldson area group, and it's cool. You know, it's you lose your dog, or you know, there's a shady person walking down the street, or something like that. It's pretty tame.
And then there's Hip Hermitage, you were telling us. And it's more
Hip Hermitage does not have the same rules that Hip Donaldson has.
It's more like Is it the Wild Wild West?
It's the Wild Wild West of Facebook pages, yeah. Neighbors have no problem communicating with each other on Hip Hermitage.
Like gunfights and like, it's like West Side Story with knife and...
Yeah, I don't know if it gets that far, but it's Hip Donaldson is a nice safe place to go to.
Yeah, and Mary Oaks is nice as well.
I'm sure it is. It sounds merry.
We got a couple older folks here that are doing amazing things. This is Ernie Andrus. He is 95 years old. He's a World War II veteran, and he's going across the U.S. on foot. This story is from CNN, and I typically wouldn't quote anything from CNN, but I'm going to break my own rule today.
Here we go.
From age 90 to
he can't resist.
From age 90, I'm just shocked. This should say Fox News beside it, shouldn't it?
I say we don't endorse any news
isn't
outlets.
Is this a positive story about a soldier? I mean, wouldn't...
This is not the direction. Okay. We cannot do an M&W-endorsed podcast about this.
I'm just saying.
It will get too ugly.
I'm just saying. I was just saying. Anyway, look back to the story.
Why do we do that? Why?
From age 90?
Hold on just a second. Hold on just a damn
second.
Would you
like your soapbox?
Get that soapbox back over here.
Do you get two soapbox hits in a day?
Yes.
Okay.
This is something we do as a people that has to stop. And I say it has to stop right now, and we have to lead the charge. You cannot say a bunch of mess and then say, I'm just saying, and make it all better.
It's like saying but.
But. Well, yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're great.
But. Yeah. You can't say, I'm just saying, after taking a
shot at CNN.
A ridiculous, untenable stand, and then I'm just saying. It's like you can't call a baby ugly and then say bless its heart.
I don't know.
I feel like you can do that though.
You can hear, but it doesn't make it right.
All right. Well, can I get back to this?
Let's move on to the actual story, no matter where it's from.
All right. Fake news. Anyway.
Wow.
From age 90 to 93, he's crossed the country on foot from Georgia to California. Now he's 95, and he's doing it again. He hopes to run 13 miles a week, no matter the weather, and plans to finish around the age of 100. It's going to take a few years.
It's going to take him that long to get to the top of the mountains.
Pretty optimistic. Wow. Okay. He runs Mondays, Thursdays, and Sundays. So he doesn't run every day. With an average distance of 4.5 miles and is trailed by state troopers and his travel partner.
Something I didn't put on here, and I'm sorry.
Yeah.
During his first run, he went 6 miles a day. He averaged 6 miles a day.
Okay. So, yeah.
Well, he's 95. You know, he's got
to. And he said he knows his own limits. He needs to scale it down.
He knows what he's doing. He's running. He's raising money to restore a World War II tanker. It was a tanker that was used in Normandy for D-Day. It cost millions of dollars, so he's raising money for that. He's also trying to raise attention for the U.S. Navy, where he served. Oh, here's why Bailey picked the story.
It is not.
The ship currently resides in Evansville, Indiana.
That was a fun fact at the end.
If, and this is important, guys and gals out there listening to us, if you want to donate, coasttocoastruns.com is the website. So coasttocoastruns.com. What a cool little thing for him to do. There aren't many World War II veterans around.
No, they're...
And I think the tanker's already restored. They just want to get it to Normandy.
Yeah, to have it go over there will cost money. So that's pretty incredible.
It costs millions to get it over there? Is that what we're saying?
Yeah, I was actually talking about this last week. I was in Texas for a family reunion, and two of my great uncles, or my grand... Yeah, uncles. Not my grand uncle. I guess it'd be grand uncles.
Great-uncles.
They're not my... Great. Yeah, they're great-uncles. They served in World War II and were both sergeants, and both were a part of the Normandy invasion. So they... I mean, they were... One of my great-uncles was wounded like 4 or 5 times. And so it was cool to see them and their pictures and everything. But one of the things I learned is that those ships back in the day, especially for the war effort, they used so much fuel. And a lot of them... This was kind of a cool, fun fact. I'm getting off on a tangent. But a lot of those ships for D-Day were designed to get them there, and then that was it.
They're like disposable.
Exactly. They built them so fast. They were putting ships out like in 30 days.
Yeah.
Because everybody, like women, were helping to do like the pop rivets and everything.
Yes, because we shouldn't work now. Is that what you're saying?
That's not what I'm saying. Bailey.
Especially millennial women.
But can you imagine all those ships that a lot of those were just designed? And not the boats that actually got them to the beach, but I'm talking big ships that were bringing soldiers from either, you know, the U.S. or even up into England. Those ships were designed to get them over to Europe and then just
We'll figure it out chill. After we get done with this thing.
But, you know, of course, American ingenuity. Some of those ships are still being used today, and they used them. And the reason I knew the story is because one of my other... cousins, he served in Vietnam, and he actually took a ship that was supposed to be a disposable ship in World War II from the U.S. to Vietnam.
Incredible.
But it survived, obviously, and they were still using it up until that point.
Yeah, so. I mean, they're making those things out of scrap metal, and they had, you know, scrap drives, and you know, they gave us steel pennies for a while so they could take the copper and use it for the war. They were throwing some stuff together.
It was incredible. Sure. What an incredible period. All right, and our last story here. All of these people, Miss Murphy and then Mr. Andrus, and then they would have all well been aware of World War II and been a part of it. This is John and Phyllis Cook. They've both been widowed twice.
Wow.
They've dated for 1 year.
You don't want a long engagement.
And they just got married.
How old are they?
He's 100, and she's 103.
And he is also a World War II veteran.
Yes.
We're not going to drag this thing out too long.
John and Phyllis.
Honey, let's get this done today.
I can't believe they dated for a year.
Yeah. Well, you got to make sure stuff's right, even if you're old. You know, you don't want to be getting married. And
I don't want to make light of this. I don't. I really don't. But, like, I've been widowed twice.
You say, maybe it's me.
Did that for both of them, Bailey?
Yeah, they've both been widowed twice.
Maybe they... Never mind.
It says both but it's on your paper.
But, I mean, when you're 100 and 103...
We don't know what the circumstances are.
We don't. But you could have... I mean...
So I married an axe murderer.
Is that the first thing that came to your mind?
It's a good film. It's a good film.
So you think that there's murder and like a Black Widow situation going on here?
Well, I'm just saying this story. This story was CNN as well, just for the record.
They've made it 100 years. Things are bound to happen. I'm just going to move on from your comments.
Oh,
listen to this, though. This is not going to work. This is not going to work. You heard it here. Zach Pugh III. They plan to keep their separate apartments. That is not going to fly.
They're 100.
That's not going to fly. That is not a successful marriage. You need to be together.
He lives upstairs and she lives downstairs.
No, he ain't living upstairs if he's 100 years old. Unless he's got one of those little seats that move you up and down the stairs.
He might be.
It's called elevators.
I guess Ernie's running across the United States.
You know, maybe at 100 and 103 years old, they have the accumulated wisdom, especially after...
Yeah, they're combined after
blowing through a couple other spouses to realize that
blowing?
The secret to a successful marriage is
separation.
To get separate apartments and stay away from
each other, blow each other away.
Exactly. There's less of a chance for
but
that.
But also, if you were 100, 103, you wouldn't want to be moving your stuff around.
Yeah, that's true. You've got some stuff at 100 and 103.
But do they even have anybody to help them move? Like, I mean, what friends are you going to call?
Well, your kids.
Oh, let's not be mean.
I mean, sometimes the kids are gone.
It could be. Maybe.
Also.
Maybe they just really love each other and wanted to be married, but they have enough sense to say, look, let's be real. I'm 100, you're 103. Let's be married and love each other, but let's not go through a whole bunch of... of unnecessary stuff.
Let's not shake up the apple cart.
Yeah, let's just be married and it'll be okay.
That's still pretty incredible.
It is very, very incredible. Good for them.
I mean, and that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm not making light of it. I mean, shoot, I wish one day I could be old enough to be like, I've gone through four spouses. Three had died. You know, one left me, you know, or whatever the situation. We'll see.
I don't know what just happened there. But
I'm just saying.
Are we going back in time?
Yeah, I think we've already... It sounds like we've already got this whole thing planned out.
Well, I would have to marry two or three women and then them die.
I really hope.
That would be what would have to happen. So.
Agreed. It just sounds like you already have the time and the method already in mind.
Well, I got to live. I got to live. And I, you know, I don't think I could run to Almahundro, let alone across the country. So Ernie's
the man.
Ernie's got me.
Yeah, I'm worried about the Rocky Mountains. That's going to be tough.
He's starting in Georgia, so the like southern side of Georgia.
Do we have an Ernie tracker?
Yeah, you can follow him on his Facebook page and his website, and you can also get some swag on his website.
Wait. Is he starting from?
He's starting from Georgia.
Like Savannah, then?
No, it's an island off the coast.
Oh, so he truly is. Okay. So he's.
So he could take the southern route.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll take, you know, the desert route.
Texas and Arizona, New Mexico.
And then last time he ran to the Coast Guard's station in San Diego.
Yeah.
Somewhere like that. I don't remember.
You said that just like Ron Burgundy did in Anchorman.
San Francisco.
San Diego.
So, nobody really knows Bailey's where that name came
Bailey's
from.
Bailey's reading a teleprompter. I'm back here. So
lies.
So hopefully, this has been three segments of Zach, Chris, and Bailey.
Yeah.
Pretty much free and clear.
No guests this week.
We'll see if there's any listenership after this week.
It'll be okay. You guys stay with us and keep ideas coming. And, you know, quite honestly, we're still feeling our way through this, but I think they're getting better and better, and we're having a blast doing them. We're hearing more and more from you guys coming and tell us that you're listening, which makes us feel incredible. And we're doing this for you, so you got some kind of entertainment as dumb as it may be sometimes. And
we do enjoy it.
Yeah.
But it is for the driver. Like, we want, and that's why we try to tell you guys to subscribe and listen and tell us about some things that you'd like to hear us talk about, or
we are often at a loss for ideas. We welcome your your ideas, because
or when a good idea comes about, we're not in the studio.
That's true. Some of our best podcasts have been never recorded because
they happened in the hallway.
Standing in the hallway. That's true.
Well, guys, you can subscribe if you've got friends who haven't subscribed. If you're listening, you probably have already subscribed to the podcast. But you can subscribe or tell your friends about it at the Drive Podcast. You can listen wherever podcasts are served, on Apple Podcasts, on Android. You can get it by email, Google Podcasts, Spotify, plenty of other locations. So we do appreciate your listenership. We were up over 150 listens this week, which is awesome, and that has everything to do with you guys. And we really, really,
thank
really
you,
do.
Thank you, thank you.
Yeah, we do appreciate that. So thanks for joining us today, guys. Good job, Bailey. Thanks for pulling all that information. You've been listening to the Drive Podcast with Zach, Chris, and Bailey. Thanks for listening to us. We'll talk to you next time.